Everything about Chelsea has been frozen. All the assets are frozen. They cannot buy any player in the next transfer window. They cannot sell any player. They cannot extend any contracts. They cannot sell any more matchday tickets to away fans and home fans. I don't think at the games they can sell merchandise. They can't sell food and drinks, nothing like that.
Going forward, what impact it can have on Chelsea? I don't know. That I just feel like it comes back to too big to fail. They're performing on the pitch. They're getting the results. There will be new owners. Abramovich will not be the owner. I don't know what went wrong with PSG. They just panic. They always seem to panic. Maybe the owner's pressure, because he is a scary guy, let's face it.
He literally told him, I will kill you. So,
yeah. Yes. I just feel bad for one player in that team in PSG, and that's Mbappe. He was the best player over both legs. Kroos and Modric could actually play till they're 70 at this rate, the way they play.
Yeah.
All I know is Ronaldo's definitely not the problem. We need him. Ronaldo,
you know, bro, if Ronaldo doesn't perform for like 2-3 games, oh my God, Ronaldo is done. He's the problem. He's 37. He's too old, blah, blah, blah. Messi, the season has been fuck all. The amount of league goals he's had this season, Ronaldo had in his last game with a hat-trick. Hi guys, and welcome back to All About Sports, the podcast, a podcast for the fans, by the fans. Today's podcast, we just have my co-host Mazhar with me.
Hey everyone.
Today's podcast, since it's Mazhar and me, and obviously our favorite topic is football. We'll be talking a lot about football. A lot of things have happened recently. To start off with, I would say one big thing that happened last week. And obviously the reason for that is because of the war in Ukraine right now. A lot of sanctions have been placed for a lot of companies, for a lot of Russians. And one such sanction has come on Chelsea Football Club, which is obviously owned by Roman Abramovich, who's a Russian. Now, before I get Mazhar into this and we start discussing what's the state with Chelsea, just to give you guys a little brief, and if I miss anything, Mazhar, you please add. So Chelsea Football Club basically have been sanctioned to an extent where everything about Chelsea has been frozen. All the assets are frozen. They cannot buy any player in the next transfer window. They cannot sell any player. They cannot extend any contracts. The current contracts that they have with their players, they can fulfill that contract by paying the wages. They cannot sell any more matchday tickets to away fans and home fans. Obviously, the season tickets that they've already sold is a contract they had before the sanction with the fans. So those season ticket holders can still come for the games. I don't think at the games they can sell merchandise. They can't sell food and drinks, nothing like that. But because Chelsea, as a football club, has a big cultural impact, the sanction had a special guideline or something like that from the government. And I think they're still allowed to carry on all their regular football activities. But yeah, no new transaction can happen. Chelsea have also currently lost their shirt sponsor, Three, who I think have also pulled back. Chelsea is going through a lot of trouble. And now bringing you and Mazhar. Firstly, have I covered everything? If I missed anything, you please add. And what are your general thoughts about what's happened right now?
So Shubham, I don't think you missed anything. Just it's important to highlight, I think that only Three has backed out from their sponsorship.
Yeah.
The other main sponsors have shown their commitment to Chelsea. So Nike clearly made a strong statement saying, we aren't going to back out from our deal. We will go as planned. Obviously, there's a lot of money at stake. I think it's a 15-year deal for kids sponsorship that they've signed basically with Chelsea, Nike. So, So those other sponsors, there's the other one, which I think Hyundai has not backed out as well, and a few others, which are still their sponsors. So it's only Three that has backed out, and a lot of fans were enraged with Three saying, how can you like not support us? I mean, which is again, different topic altogether. But otherwise, I think you covered everything in terms of going forward, what impact it can have on Chelsea. I don't know. I just feel like it comes back to too big to fail. They're performing on the pitch. They're getting the results. They scrape through a victory. Even on this day that we're recording, they just about beat Newcastle 1-0 thanks to a Kai Havertz goal. So, I mean, things will continue. Of course, it has an impact on the club. Obviously, the players are also thinking about it for sure at the back of their minds that what next, you know, potentially. But eventually, there will be an owner who will come up because the league has allowed them to sell the club as well.
Oh, yeah. Like that's the next thing I was going to bring up. Have they allowed? Because last when I read, I don't know if you've read anything latest, they weren't allowed or there was actually no information about it.
So that actually just came in yesterday saying that the league will allow the sanctioning of the sale of Chelsea, but that money cannot go to Abramovich, something along those lines. There's no clarity as to how this will work, but basically, there will be new owners. Abramovich will not be the owner. The only thing is, I think that is the question mark. Where will that money go then? Will it be put back into the club? Will that go to some charity? What will happen with that is something that, honestly, I don't think they'll even disclose to us.
Of course.
So I think that's the big question mark in that case.
Yeah, but like you mentioned, the league has allowed, but has the government? Because I don't think the government has released any statement, right?
Exactly. So now I'm not sure where that stands. You're right. They haven't. The government has not passed any statement on this.
Yeah.
But I don't think the government will have a problem at the end of the day. There's a lot at stake. You're talking about London's biggest football club. You're talking about one of Europe's biggest football clubs. There's just too much at stake here for them to just let go of that. Don't forget, Chelsea's in the heart of London. So it's a luxurious club as well. So like, there's so many aspects to it. Obviously, there'll be a lot of these politicians as well, potentially, who are Chelsea fans and have a significant influence on that club in some way or the other, and in some capacity or the other. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's tough to be a fan at this point of the club as well, because you literally don't know what's next. And I know for a fact that there'll be so many people who'd want to go for games, but now can't go for the games. So it's just like really odd situation to find. And for something that no one else is responsible for, right? The employees completely unaware of everything. So I don't know what will happen to the academy players. How do they function? So because at the end of the day, Shubham, we keep, like you mentioned, right? It all comes down to money. So how long can they keep functioning like this? Anyway, with the new imposed rules on players being loaned out and so on and so forth as well, those restrictions, I don't know how this all ties up. So it's just, I don't know how, what will happen in the next 3-4 months. Also, a new owner and his motives in terms of running Chelsea.
Yeah.
Many people are questioning whether they'll be able to sustain this success that they've had over the last, what, they've won 21 trophies and since
in Abramovich's era,
over, right? Which is tied most with United. So that just speaks volumes of how good they've been. So secretly, I hope this happened with Manchester United. But
fair point.
So I feel like I hope as a neutral, I hope that, you know, it does hamper them in some way, because I think it'll just... Actually, no, I want them to continue succeeding, because it'll break the Manchester City, Liverpool
stronghold ruling
right now and stronghold in the Premier League. So why not just hopefully they don't lose it so much. But right now also they're not doing as well as they can. And they know that. So let's see.
Yeah, I totally agree with you in terms of, at the immediate term, they've won the football game. But if you look at short term, and by short term, I mean, you know, if you look at 6 months, and if the war in Russia, in Ukraine that's going on, if it, whatever happens, because a lot depends on what happens there. But if things are still bad out there, and these guys, their first or summer transfer window since being sanctioned, if they can't do any business, they're already losing players in this summer, their contracts are running out. I think it's just going to be a massive, massive debacle for Chelsea. And I also totally agree with you that whichever new owner comes in, and I 100% feel like a new owner is coming in, given the times that we are in right now, do they have the same amount of passion to like just keep on investing in the club the way Roman has? And that's the reason you can see that Chelsea fans love him. They were still singing his name after all these sanctions came out. They absolutely love him. And it's hard to get owners like him. As a United fan, we know it's hard to get owners who really, really invest that sort of money. It will be very interesting to see what happens with Chelsea in the next few months. And talking about owners who invest a lot of money, I think the next club we have to discuss is PSG. Obviously, PSG have had massive investments in their team, huge finances. Their last summer transfer window that just went, it was a summer transfer window literally out of FIFA manager mode, where they get Ramos, they get Messi, and I think 2-3 other Donnarumma. Like really cool players. Yeah, exactly. And even after getting all these players, they bottle it in the Champions League. And when I say bottle it, they were at PSG. They win 1-0. They go to Bernabeu. They're 1-0 up. So on aggregate in the tie, 2-0 up. And then it's a 20-minute or something like that hat-trick by Benzema. 3-2 finished out of the Champions League, round of 16. And this has happened to them repeatedly. So firstly, what are your thoughts about how amazing Benzema was and how badly PSG performed?
For all our viewers, Krishnan and Shubham told you so. They call this, you both called it during the Champions League group stages when the draws were made, I remember. And you,
yeah.
And I remember you had such a strong statement where you said, I'm 100% sure they won't win. And it, yeah, it's crazy, Shubham. Like, I get it. It's hard to get players to work in the and gel in the first season. But like when United don't perform, it's like blown out of the window, right? Like the news outlets are saying there's unrest.
They are everything possible.
Not happy. Yeah, it's so ridiculous. The negativity brought about for United, like they hate them so much. It's ridiculous, but PSG, for some reason, it's okay. When Messi doesn't perform, it's fine. When Ronaldo...
You know, bro, the fact that you brought this up, I got so upset. Okay, other than the fact that I'm a big Ronaldo fan, if Ronaldo doesn't perform for like 2-3 games, oh my God, Ronaldo is done. He's the problem. He's 37. He's too old, blah, blah, blah. Messi, the season has been fuck all. The amount of league goals he's had this season, Ronaldo had in his last game with a hat-trick. Messi has disappeared in all the big games, not just this season. For many years, he's disappeared in big games. But news outlets like ESPN, FC and Goal and other news outlets also, they just worship the guy like as if no matter he can't do any wrong and there's nothing wrong with his form. But it's they are such hypocrites. But yeah, I think this rant will not end. So I'll let you speak again.
No, sir. I was also going to go into that tangent. So I'm glad you covered that up. Now let's come back to the main point. I think, yeah, bottling to another level. Like, of course, firstly, it was unacceptable to lose to United that time as well when United completed that comeback. Even before that, they bottled it against
Barca 6-1.
Yes, against Barcelona. That was crazy as well. When funny enough, it was Neymar who
was at
the other end at that point in time. And I just feel bad for one player in that team in PSG, and that's Mbappe. He was the best player over both legs. He was unstoppable.
Absolutely.
Right now, I would say he's the world's best player currently in terms of just like there's this aura that he has and he brings to the and what he brings to any team at this point is just scary. And to think of him going to this Madrid team, which will be very, very good. And I honestly think that it's the perfect fit for Mbappe. I think it's a good decision that he's going to Madrid. I don't know, man.
And just drop this in. Obviously, all of us know it, but after PSG's game, I read a tweet saying that Mbappe most probably in the next 1-2 weeks would be signing for Madrid. And he could have gone to Madrid last season for 170 million euros with 1 year left in his contract. And now he's going for free.
Yeah, man. I don't know how Madrid and Barca are just signing players for free like this. It's just beyond me, man. Like, and here, and you look at any other club, it's so hard for them to pick up players. But when it's Barca and Madrid, they'll do anything for them. It's crazy. The stranglehold that Perez and, I mean, Barcelona as a club altogether have is just unbelievable. But coming back to it, I don't know what went wrong with PSG. They just panic. They always seem to panic. I think it ultimately comes down to the fact that I don't know if the pressure is too much from the owner itself. Maybe the owner's pressure, because he is a scary guy, let's face it. We all heard about the threats apparently that he gave Madrid's coaching staff and the refs as well.
He literally told him, I will kill you. So, yeah.
Yeah, so and when we've seen those angry pictures of him with his eyes wide open. And so I don't know if it's that eventually just crumbles. Also, the fans don't help. I think the Paris fans, they were booing Messi and Neymar.
Everyone.
They were on the ball. It's ridiculous. I mean, so when you have such fans also who spread this toxic environment, why would you want to play there? after a point. I think even Mbappe is French at the end of the day, and he doesn't want to play in Paris anymore. So there's a reason why even Pogba doesn't want to go to Paris, even though he's French. So it's definitely evident. I think Pogba is going to go to Barca. Shubham, what do you think? And what's your opinion on PSG's bottling?
So talking about PSG's bottling, I saw one screenshot. Now, obviously, this was just a screenshot, so it will definitely be out of context. But I saw a screenshot that when PSG were defending, they had the back four, the midfield three. And then these three guys, like, just isolated from the rest of the group, the compact block that they were trying to set while defending. So that basically gave Madrid a lot of control. And this has been repeated all around the season, that because having you have such three amazing attackers, the team is suffering. But I also feel that it's not because of three amazing attackers, because we've seen three amazing attackers in many successful teams. If you recently see the Real Madrid team with Bale, Benzema and Ronaldo, they were three amazing attackers. Then you had MSN with Messi, Neymar and Suarez. You've had United with Tevez, Rooney, Ronaldo. So you've had teams with like three attack-minded players. But then other players, obviously, they have to do a little bit more. And there's something definitely wrong with PSG. Either it is massive egos, bad management, or like you said, pressure from the ownership. So yeah, it is the way they crumbled in Madrid is just not acceptable. But talking about another aspect is Madrid's performance, especially when we talk about Benzema. And Benzema, at the age of 34, scores a hat-trick, officially becomes the oldest ever player in the Champions League to score a hat-trick. And Modric, at the age of 36, passing the fucking midfield. And keep in mind, PSG's midfield is no joke. They have a good midfield. Passing the midfield, running the show. Yeah, what are your thoughts on these guys? And especially because you touched upon Mbappe being one of the best players in the world, do you think right now, Benzema, Lewandowski, Mbappe and Salah are in the similar bracket, or how do you rank them? To start off with, how do you rank these four?
For me, personally, I think Salah is the best player in the world currently, hands down. He's just firstly, it's just hard enough to play in the Premier League because of the physicality, and so that's the only reason I would say Salah trumps everyone else. But also, every time he's on the ball, you think something's going to happen. And that's what really stands out about Salah, according to me. And he just delivers. He's had frustrating games where he keeps shooting because he can't score. But still, like, somehow or the other, his goal scoring record this season has been absurd only. And he's not even playing as a striker. He's playing as an out and out right winger at the end of the day, and he just cuts in, and man, he's just a nice guy. It sucks that he plays for Liverpool, but he's just such a nice guy. And that's why I think for me, Salah currently is number one. Benzema, I've always felt that he's been supremely underrated,
and he's always been in the shadow, always been in the shadow,
but he's definitely proven his worth to. It's no joke to have sustained and kept your spot on Real Madrid at the end of the day, a team which is known for dropping players mercilessly if they don't perform and letting go of them. He's managed to stay there, and now he just seems to be getting better. Same for Lewandowski. Lewandowski makes goal scoring look like a joke. But I just feel like he's also in the Bundesliga, which has not been challenging, and Dortmund haven't been performing well as well. So I just feel like there's not enough. Yeah, he banged in a hat-trick in the Champions League, so that still speaks volumes of his abilities. But I think even he might be getting bored, and I think he'll be looking for some challenge as well. And if he's really up for it, I don't know if he'll come to the Premier League, but and also who can afford him and where would he go is another question. But I just think he has no challenge right now. And yeah, so it's not his fault. It's just the situation he's in. I would put them all in the same bracket as Mbappe. It's just that Mbappe is so young and his ceiling is unknown. He's already a World Cup champion. He was highly instrumental in them winning the World Cup, in France winning the World Cup. So, I mean, that's why it's scary what level Mbappe can reach. He could be, like you talk about, right? Never will you ever see. And then we saw two in Messi and Ronaldo. Mbappe could actually reach. People 20 years from now could talk about Mbappe in the same way.
Yeah,
potentially, yeah. Potentially, but okay, he it's absurd to hit the numbers that Ronaldo and Messi are hitting, but his Champions League record is also crazy, Mbappe. So let's see how it goes. Also, just shout out to Modric. I would personally say that he's up there with Xavi and Iniesta in terms of his ability and everything, because he did it at Tottenham, just got better at Madrid. And his
longevity has been amazing. Consistency is amazing. So yeah, that guy's quite a baller, dude. What a
Cruz
player.
And Modric could actually play till they're 70 at this rate, the way they play, yeah. The way they boss that midfield. Unbelievable, man.
Absolutely. I agree with you in terms of Modric's performance, the way he's just bossing midfields against top players. And talking about the current four best in the world, to the players who have been the best in the world for, I don't know, last two decades, perhaps. And at least one of them still doesn't seem to be waning or losing his abilities too much. The other one has been crap for the last, I think, couple of years, but still picks on Ballon d'Ors. Talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, to start off with, he banged in a hat-trick against Tottenham. Good goals. And he's the second highest scorer in the Premier League behind Salah, who's having a mad season. He becomes the world's greatest goal scorer. Officially in FIFA records, he's outscored every single other player. What are your thoughts on Ronaldo just at 37 banging it in? And also, other than his last performance, your thoughts on the fact that, is he a problem for United? Or is he not a problem? Which side are you on?
He's never the problem. How can he ever be the problem? I never understand these articles and these people making all these statements about how he is an issue. How is he an issue? He's the most professional football player potentially in the world. Mourinho said that. Someone with a big, massive ego of Mourinho also saying that Ronaldo is the dream to work with because of his professionalism on and off the pitch. How can you say he's the problem? If at all, he's the solution. Every time he's come and saved United this season. Every single time. The only reason he's still in the Champions League is him as well.
Absolutely. Conte said after the game that had it not been for Ronaldo, United would have had a bad evening. So there you go. He saves us all the time.
He does. And people will be like, oh, okay. It was the pass. The first goal. My God, man. It took us back to literally 14 years back when he was playing with us. But his movement,
header also,
man,
dude, what a fucking header.
When do we score from corners? Now we have scored two in set place. But just everything. It was the perfect hat trick, right? Long distance shot, poacher's goal with the second one, and the third one a header. Like, you can't ask for anything else. Sancho was also brilliant. He's definitely not the problem. I don't know what they are saying. Just pass him the ball. He'll do the rest. Yes, he had a bad phase in between. Maybe he was
Everyone carrying. Has it, yeah.
Yeah, and also, maybe he was carrying something at that point in time. Ranieri was also smart enough to let him go back home, take a break, came back.
In fact, there are a lot of reports about Ronaldo going on a break. Was it because he was dropped from City's game, so he was upset? Was the leave sanctioned? Was it not? See, a lot of it, I believe, the media and the press love to write about United because, hey, writing about United gives them the clicks and it's such a big team, so they need that. They get a lot of views and a story that has to do with Ronaldo that gets you even more views. So a lot of it could be rubbish. But what's your take? Like, do you think there's serious some unrest in the team, in the squad?
I don't buy any of that. Honestly, I just can't get myself to believe that. In the beginning, of course, the first opinion is to go against the players, right? Because when results don't go your way, then fans start to think that there's something wrong, because that's just typical human nature. But I don't see it. Like, honestly, when I saw the celebrations after he scored that third goal with Rashford jumping over the top as well, and just they looked very united to me. I don't buy all that crap. At the end of the day, they are all there to win. They are professional athletes because they are winners. they aren't there. You can say whatever that, oh, they are spoiled and they are there just for money. Rubbish. At the end of the day, yes, but they're truly passionate about the sport, because at the end of the day, every professional athlete will be a sore loser. They don't become professionals to lose. They don't become professionals to just go and shake hands after a game saying good game. They're there to win. So according to me, all bullshit. I'm not going to buy into this crap. I think he definitely must have had a hip injury and must have wanted to clear off his mind. So he must have asked Ragnik if he can leave. Obviously, he must have, and Ragnik must have told, like, because he came out openly and said he had some hip problem. There's no way Ronaldo doesn't start against City otherwise. Yes, he displays displeasure or anger when he's substituted off. Salah does that too. A lot of players do that. That's fair enough. And I like that, in fact, for some people. Because hiding it or suppressing it also is not a good sign. It at least according to me, it shows that they really do care. I don't know, man. I don't know. And Ragnik is the one ballsy fellow who... I want a manager like Ragnik. Even if he did drop Ronaldo, that City game, it wasn't necessarily a bad decision, because we anyway got pummeled. So even having Ronaldo, we barely had the ball. So what's the point? If you can't feed the ball into Ronaldo, where will you score anyway? So, I mean, I don't know what to make of it. But all I know is Ronaldo's definitely not the problem. We need him. I'm banking on him. By the time this episode is released, we'll know where we stand against Atletico. But yeah, he's our only hope. Sancho and him, I guess. That's it.
I read I saw an amazing tweet after Ronaldo's hat-trick, and the tweet was something like, Simeone switched off his mobile data after seeing Ronaldo's hat-trick against Tottenham. But yeah, I just hope that Ronaldo is hitting top form, because it's a crucial, crucial game for us this midweek against Atletico. And talking about the game against Atletico, and just like closing thoughts on Ronaldo, if by chance we bottle the Champions League, and we obviously don't make top four, or do you think Ronaldo stays or he goes? And if he goes, do you count this season for him a success? And are there any hard feelings as a United fan point of view? Or you understand the player's ambition?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't call Champions League bottling in our case. I honestly don't think we're good enough. We're good enough to beat Atletico. Are we good enough to go all the way? I doubt. Especially with City still there, Liverpool still there. Bayern absolutely mauled their opposition. Leipzig in the
Chelsea are there. So, quite a few.
Yeah, so like, I mean, at Chelsea, I'm not so afraid of Chelsea. I think Tuchel has been found out now in a lot of ways. So I wouldn't say Chelsea will end up progressing further as well. I think they'll get knocked out in the quarterfinals. Being realistic about it. But I don't think anyone can have hard feelings if Ronaldo leaves. It all depends on where he goes, though. It's subject to that. But I know deep down he'll want to stay. But how can you have Ronaldo and Varane playing in the Europa League? It just sounds ridiculous to me. And I know that doesn't mean anything. They knew what they signed up for when they signed for United. So there will be, it'll be disappointing, but you can't blame him. And as for the season goes, I'll only call it a success depending on where we finish. So like, because at the end of the day, it's a team thing as well. Like, he can only be successful if the team is successful after a point. Like, it's not a case of, at the end of the day, United aren't a small team where a striker can get 20 goals and then the team can have a bad season. When you're talking about these big teams, you need everyone to perform for to say that the striker was also successful. That's what makes Salah so good, is the fact that Liverpool are also working well. So I think it comes down to that. So too early to judge. But if he gets us through the Champions League, you know, even the next round, for me, he's already been successful. But I think from a neutral standpoint, you have to say that there's still a lot to prove with those the remaining nine league games, if United are still in with a shot going into the last match day, I think it's been a successful campaign for him.
Nice, nice. So yeah, with that, I think we reach the end of this football episode where we've tried to cover as much as possible. Thank you guys for tuning in. Do like, share, comment, subscribe. And if you guys want us to cover any specific topic, any specific sport, let us know in the comments below. And we guys shall see you all again next week.
If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes, as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.